We're going to have Ed come, and he's going to preach for us this evening. So, Ed, come and let us have what the Lord's laid on your heart, please.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. It is a joy to be with you all this evening. And we're going to open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to continue our series called the Lettuce Series. We're on that lettuce diet. And so we're going to let us do certain things. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10. Everybody there with me? Okay, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And I think about this verse, and we look at a couple things here. We begin with the let us hold fast. Let us hold fast to what we profess. When we think about the words hold fast, think with me for a moment. You grab something, hold fast, and they tell you don't let go. Whatever you do, don't let go. There could be multiple ideas that would go with that. The idea is you hold fast, and that's what he is telling us in this passage. Hold fast. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Folks, we see a downward trend going in churches across America. We've seen it here to an extent. And I heard the other day just testimony or news about churches in America, the sad truth that we are seeing two churches every day close their doors for the last time. Every day in America, two churches close their doors. And it's a thing where if they would just wait, if they would pray, if they would just hold fast that profession of faith without wavering. Folks, the Lord has left us a monumentous job and thing that we have to do, and that is to be faithful. God asks us, be faithful. Hold on. Hold fast the profession of faith. But how? Without wavering. Without wavering. I have met across the years different people, Christians, profess to be Christians, and yet we see a trial in life come or something happens and they lose faith. They turn their backs on God because something didn't go the way they thought that it should or the way they thought that God should do something. But he's not saying that. He's saying you continue without faith, without wavering. And why? For he is faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised. When we talk about he, who are we talking about? The Lord Jesus Christ. He says we need to be faithful. We need to continue on for the Lord. And instead of allowing our churches to close their doors and it's done, we're finished with it, we need to be praying. We need to be praying for the Lord to give and to raise up young men younger than us that are getting up there on our last journey, perhaps. But we need to be faithful. And we need to do it without wavering, without doubting. I remember years ago when I was in college at Tennessee Temple, they asked for me and another guy to go do some door knocking and try to witness to people. And it was in the area of Highland Park, so it was an older section. But we went down to this one house, knocked on the door. There was a car in the garage, light on in the house. But as we knocked on the door, nobody would come to answer the door. And we turned and walked back up to the sidewalk and started to go down the street. And the door opened to the house. And this lady was there, and she began to scream and yell at us. But everything she was saying was about herself. And she was just proclaiming that I don't do this and I don't do other things and all the things in a list of, you know, where the Apostle Paul lists certain things. You don't do this and this and this and this and then this, but do this and this in his place. And that's what she was doing, but pointing the finger at herself. And it was a hopeless opportunity. It was hopeless because she wasn't going to listen. We tried to get a word in and forget it. So, you know, you have a good day. Not a whole lot we can do. Sounds like you got everything wrapped up and you're perfect. Well, the Lord's looking for sinners that recognize what they need. And so we went on that day and continued. But, you know, when people treat you bad, when people don't want to hear it, you can face some troublesome times. You can face times where it affects what you're wanting to say. It affects what you're wanting to help someone see and realize. It wasn't long after that that we were on a vacation from the college, and we were in Maryland, where I grew up. And we took out, the pastor asked me to take out three teenagers to go with me door knocking. And so we went and I knocked on a door, and the guy came to the door, very well-dressed gentleman, lived in a nice area of housing and everything. And I just began a conversation with him, told him who we were, what church we were from, and just wanted to invite you to church. And he said, well, I appreciate that. And he said, I don't remember how we got to the subject, but I went ahead and moved the subject to, if you were to die today, do you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? And he said, well, I believe I am. But I began to just expound a little more some of the scriptures with him. And he looked at me after I'd finished and given him the opportunity to respond. And he said, you know, he said, the Lord has just shown me that I need to be doing what you're doing. He did profess to know Christ. But he said, I need to be doing what you are doing. And he said, I appreciate you coming by today and talking to me. And so, you know, you meet some that they're perfect already, and then you meet others that realize they need the Lord in their lives, or they need to be serving the Lord in their lives. And so the Apostle Paul talks to us here, and I'm a believer that Paul wrote Hebrews. I know you're not, but I am. But in Hebrews chapter 10, this verse, he said, for he, Jesus Christ, is faithful that promised. Now, God has given us promises. God has promised us that he will be with us. And we can walk with him. And we can be faithful to him. We do not have to get up. Or give up. We do not have to turn our backs upon the Lord. And yet we see it around us everywhere. In Hebrews chapter 4 verses 14. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Folks, we need to hold fast our profession of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, of knowing for sure and having that assurance in our hearts if we have received the Lord as our personal Savior, we know that we have eternal life. We should be living with that confidence in our lives daily, every day, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. We have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We have what we know that we have. And he says, let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold fast to what we profess. And then I look at the second thing. Let us hold fast to heaven. Let us hold fast to heaven. Sometimes when you're witnessing, you're talking to people, you ask them, if you died today, do you know for sure that you'd be on your way to heaven? And people, unfortunately, they don't know. So many times I've heard people say, well, no, I really don't know for sure. I said, you know, and that opens the window, that opens the door for me to be able to speak to them, to be able to take it further in this conversation. And that's what the Lord expects from us. It puts your work in perspective. It puts your work in perspective. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, beginning of verse 19. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Folks, we need to lay up for ourselves what? Treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven. Lay up for ourselves the things that the Lord has for us and has promised to us. And he says, we don't need the things of this world. We don't need to be searching for the riches of things in this world that are corrupted by moth, by whatever it might be, by thieves or that would come in and steal our treasures. No. Lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where the thieves do not break through to steal. The Lord opens the opportunity for us to put our work into perspective, to hold fast heaven. It also puts your walk in perspective. It puts your walk in perspective. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. We will give an account to the Lord. We will give an account to see what God did in our lives, what God has done with us. And when we look at that verse, let me read it again. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is not to determine whether we're going to be saved or not. No. It means we're there. It means we are with the Lord. But it says that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. How many of you all as Christians have done anything bad since you got saved? Now, okay, there goes one hand. One honest person today. Great. My hand would have to go up too. We fail. There are things that we have done and we shouldn't. But whether it be good or bad, we will give an account to the Lord for that. In Titus chapter 2, verse 13, he says, looking for that blessed hope. Looking for that blessed hope. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That time when we will stand before the Lord. And hopefully we will have everything taken care of. And we hope and I pray and hope that God will not let me miss anything. That I will maintain a life of prayer and walking with the Lord in such a way that we don't have to worry about what we're going to lose. But he is going to reward us in accordance with what we have done as a Christian. And that's what we need to be concerned with. Now, we've looked at let us hold fast to what we professed. Let us hold fast to heaven. But then there's let us hold fast to the gospel. And this is where we need to refuse to be ashamed for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not be ashamed that you witness for the Lord. Don't be ashamed because someone yells at you and, oh, this is a bunch of baloney. Why bother? And I've been out with people and run into some rough situations, and somebody that's with me, soul winning with me, people that have said, why do we even waste our time with these people with their attitude? Nobody seems to care. They're not interested in their eternal destination. And we go because He has commanded us. We go because we know that God has the power to work. And as we hold fast to the gospel, we refuse to be ashamed. I think of Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I've had more than one time where people have said to me, oh, I wish I had the mannerism or the opportunity or knew how to talk to people like you do. I said, well, it's just a matter of talking, just like we're talking right now. And we can search for people that would listen, that would hearken to the Lord, and that we can lead to Christ. And that's what the Lord expects from us. That's what He has in waiting for us. I think of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When we think about that verse and what the Lord has done for us. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. A new creature. God transforms us. God changes us. I'm so thankful for that, that God changed me. Totally. I'm not the person I used to be. And I'm glad I'm not. I'm glad that the Lord changes us. He changes our lives, just everything about us. Everything that we will give to the Lord, He will change and turn it for good. And that is what He did with my life. So, therefore, if any man be in Christ, what is he? A new creature. A new creature. And the Lord says here, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In verse 18, there in that same passage, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, we need to understand something. The Lord has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. He has given to you and to me the responsibility to witness for Him. We are supposed to witness. Church is not just here to entertain us, and we know that. But the Lord puts upon us the responsibility to give out, to minister, to testify, to witness of the reconciliation of the Lord Jesus Christ with us. And as we look at that, and He says, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, but continuing that verse says, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He has given to us that responsibility to help others become reconciled to God. And how are they going to know, and how are they going to be reconciled to God if I don't speak to them? If we get so busy that we just totally miss people. We don't take the opportunity. One thing I enjoy so much about being able to speak Spanish is it doesn't matter what the weather is, I can witness for the Lord. It's pouring down rain outside. Yeah, but it's not in Walmart. And we can go to Walmart. And I mean, there's times when there's probably 100 Hispanic people in Walmart at the same time. And what do? We may have a little shopping to do, and sometimes we just put things in a cart and then we go put it back when we're all done talking for the Lord. But we'll take out our tracts, and I've got them in my pocket here, And we'll stop, and I can make conversation with anybody that speaks Spanish. I mean, you just start speaking to them. They see a gringo American that speaks Spanish, and they look at you. Their eyeballs about pop out. You know, what's going on? Where are you from? And so we're able to witness to them. And that's exactly what the Lord wants us to do, is to be ready to help somebody be reconciled unto the Lord. And you say, well, we got run out of Walmart one time. Well, that's because you're speaking English. Learn another language and they won't bother you. And we do. Sometimes the Lord gives me crazy ideas. But you ever notice how in the grocery store there's stuff on the top shelf you can barely reach? And they're in glass bottles. And I think, man, these poor, short Mexicans can't reach that to save their life. And I'll see somebody looking up there, and I'll say, Señora, ¿ocupa ayuda para bajar esto? And they just stop and look at me like just flabbergasted that I can speak Spanish. But what happens? I've opened a door. I've opened a door to give them a tract in the hopes they will come to church. Because we don't go to the point of, let me open my Bible here in Walmart and witness to you. Now, then we'd probably get in some trouble. But because of the situation is and how we handle it, we have never been turned away. We have never had a single problem from anybody. We go out in the parking lot, they might get upset, but we can come right into Walmart and do it on a rainy day. And so we use that opportunity. But what are we doing? He says, to wit, that God was in Christ. So God is in Christ, who is in us, and says, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He has given that ministry now to us. He has handed it off. We're headed for a touchdown with this one. You got the handoff. You caught the pass. The Lord is saying, I want to commit to you the word of reconciliation. And so we have been given this responsibility. We've been given this power in the Word of God to be able to speak to people. It says, not imputing their trespasses unto them. No, we need to share with people that they can have their sins forgiven. These trespasses won't affect anything if you would turn your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've been given this responsibility. What part can you play in that responsibility? We can. But do we? And I really believe that's where we're seeing our churches across America closing their doors. Because they've not continued in that. They become discouraged. We're seeing churches all, and I'm serious, all over America that are closing their doors because nobody wants to come anymore. Remember the power of the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, second part of the verse where he says, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Remember the power of the gospel. It, folks, God can change people's hearts. God can work in their heart and move them to respond to God's call. And sometimes it just takes that friendly voice, that help, that just acknowledging that you see them. And there's so many areas, so many different ways in which we have opportunities to witness for the Lord. But we need to take those opportunities and do so. And that brings us to the last section. Let us hold fast to the church. Let us hold fast to the church. Isaiah 29:13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. They had not held fast to the church, to what God had given them in their time, the Jewish people, the people that needed to know Christ. With lips, they honor him, but it's not real. For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, but he says, they have removed their heart far from me. How far away is our heart from him today? Do we sense his presence in our lives? Do we know that he's here and wants to use us and wants to do something special with us and through us? So many times it just takes a small word of encouragement. And I mean, I don't work for Walmart, but it doesn't stop me from just speaking to even someone in English. Just, you see somebody and they're looking for something, and you can tell they're lost. There's been times where I've said, sir or ma'am, what are you looking for? I might can help you. And you help them, and you help them find something. And before they walk away from me, they're saying, you know, thank you so much for your help. I really appreciate that. I've been looking for the last 20 minutes and couldn't find it. No, not a problem. My pleasure. And no, that doesn't mean that I ate at Chick-fil-A by saying my pleasure. But just those opportunities. And that's when I just quickly, and Barb knows, she's already got a track ready. She's ready to come up behind me with her purse full of them and here you go. And hey, let me invite you to our church, Calvary Baptist Church, out on the 191. And hopefully that God will use it. That somehow somebody will take that track and they will hold fast to something they've heard or see or read in that track. And they won't just draw near with their mouth or their lips to honor him and yet keep him removed or far away. No. Our prayer and our wish is that they would turn to Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we were there earlier, verses 17 and 18. But I want to go to chapter 5 again and verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now just that first part of that verse. It says, now we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassador. Do we realize the importance of what an ambassador does? They have a tremendous burden upon them and a tremendous responsibility as an ambassador. And thinking through that ambassadors carry a lot of responsibility to keep in check our relationships with other countries, from the United States to other places, all around the world. And so we need to see this, that now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. And he says, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Right now we could firmly say that Iran is not reconciled with the United States. And a few other countries in the same situation. But when we think about this verse, continue reading it. He says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So he has made it possible for us to come into a relationship with him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Our relationship that we have, and the very fact that we can be here and are here tonight, is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of what he has done and made possible for us. And he sent his son, his ambassador, who came to this earth and shared the love of Christ with those who hated him and killed him. And he says, I have committed unto you this ambassadorship. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. But he took our sin upon him, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And this takes me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The desire, the heart of Jesus Christ is that everybody we talk to has the opportunity to come to Jesus Christ. They do not have to perish. And it is the desire of the Lord, as he says in verse 9, but that all should come to repentance. What are we doing to bring others to repentance? You know, I think back so many years back in 1972. It was March 25th. And that was the day that I received Christ as my Savior. Why? Because someone took the time to invite me to an activity. Took the time to witness to me. It was a youth meeting. There were several hundred young people there. It was approximately between 60 and 80 teenagers that day that received Christ as their Savior. The Lord gave me a new heart. And I look back at that and I think, I am so thankful that someone cared enough to invite me. That someone with the organization cared enough to take the time and preach besides the activities that were there. And then the very fact that some of those same people came and knocked on my door after that Saturday afternoon and invited me to go to church. And it was there that my life changed forever. I cannot thank him enough. I just can't. It just overwhelms me. There are moments when all I can do is lay my head down and weep. Lord, help me to be more faithful to you. Use me to reach other people like people reached out to me. Use me, Lord, to see people's lives changed. That they would all come to repentance. Let's not let the enemy have a victory at Calvary. Let us stay faithful and firm and hold fast. Hold fast the profession of faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love. And we just pray, Lord, and ask you to work in the hearts of your people. Help us, Lord, to seek out and work to find opportunities to witness for you, to bring others to know Christ as their Savior. Help us not to believe the lies of the enemy, that all those people wouldn't be interested. No. There are many people that would possibly be interested if we would take the time to reach them. Lord, please use us and help us see people come to know Christ as their Savior. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.